To Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. I'm very happy to announce a guest to the show today. Her name is Dunia. Dunia is an intuitive tarot reader. She uses a combination of her intuition and empathy while reading tarot cards to provide people with the insight and clarity that they need. Dunia uses multiple types of tarot cards, including the Universal Tarot, Everyday Tarot, and Gilded Tarot, to answer your questions. Dunia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. So I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about your background. Do you come from a religious background, a spiritual background? Can you walk us through that?
Yes. So I'm actually Assyrian. So that's my background. We're the indigenous people of Mesopotamia. I was born in Baghdad, Iraq. Generally, my culture is very religious. We're Christian Orthodox. But for me personally, for as long as I can remember, I've always been very spiritually in tune. This is something that's always frowned upon within my culture, just because, you know, we are very religious. But I was never able to feel enlightened, I guess, following a structured religious system. It just never really resonated with me. Personally, my evolution usually happened from deeply reflecting on myself and situations surrounding me. And I was always kind of looking for a deeper meaning of some sort as to why things transpire the way they do.
So how did that bring you to tarot exactly?
Well, it's weird because tarot was always something I was kind of interested in, but I only took interest in it, I'd probably say March of 2019, so just last year. So I really somehow came across these tarot readers on YouTube. I don't know if you've come across any of those, but it's become very popular in the last couple of years. Tarot readers have been doing, you know, these monthly horoscope readings for every zodiac sign. And then it's just, there was just something about the interpretations of the cards, just how in-depth it goes into exploring the energy of a situation. There's also such a big psychological component to it as well. And then I thought, you know, let me learn tarot. So just kind of something that I randomly developed an interest in. So I went out, I got a very basic tarot deck along with a guidebook, started learning, you know, the meaning of each card. And then once I became more confident in it, I started incorporating my own intuition into the reading. The thing with tarot readings, you know, you could go one by one and kind of read the interpretation of each card, but you don't get that full effect until you incorporate your own intuition. So for me personally, I've always known that I was very intuitive. But once I got into tarot, I found that it's unlocked so many more spiritual parts of myself too. Because tarot was a tool for your intuition. So we are all intuitive people. But you could sit there and you could just kind of, you know, read out each definition of the tarot, which some readers do, but when you use your own intuition in it as well, not only do you develop your intuitive abilities, because you're pretty much exercising that part of your psyche, right? Mm-hmm. But you also get more out of the reading. So you get so many more in-depth messages from it as well. So the more I got into it, the more, you know, I really enjoyed it, I guess.
So when you said that when you started out, yes, you looked at the guidebook, but then you started applying more of your own intuition to understand the meanings of the cards in general. So I guess I wanted to know, given that you also use your intuition, did you have any challenges at the outset? Like when you were first starting to look at cards, were there any specific cards where you're even using your intuition, it was a little bit challenging to discern what the meaning is? And the reason I'm asking that is because I've come across many tarot readers, and even including myself, where there are some cards that I still kind of struggle to, I guess you can say, assign a very specific meaning to. So I was wondering if you've come across that at all when you were starting out, or if you've pretty much have a great understanding of each card.
Oh, I still come across those challenges. Absolutely. As you know, when you're using any of those abilities that you have, it really depends on your mood, the day, how you're feeling. So sometimes you're not as in tune with your intuition as you are, you know, usually. And sometimes I do come across those challenges. Yeah, absolutely. But then at that point, what I do is I'm very honest with the client and I let them know, okay, I know that the reading is due right now. If you could just give me 20 more minutes just to kind of meditate, get centered. And I find that when you put the cards away at that point, you just kind of take a moment to get yourself together and then get back into the readings or start it all over again. That makes a world of a difference. Sometimes the interpretation also doesn't make sense in the reading because you know, things could start off one way and you have a general idea of what's developing in the story, because that's kind of what it is. You know, you lay out the cards, each card has its own interpretation, but then you also have to combine it with the cards surrounding it to tell a story. So sometimes you pull that one card and you're like, what? This doesn't make sense. That's when your intuition comes into play. As an intuitive tarot card reader, you don't always rely on the interpretation. Sometimes you have to kind of go by that gut instinct. The image could represent something, although, for instance, the interpretation of the card itself doesn't match with that image, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But that image, like where the character in the card is facing. So if it's facing away from a situation, it might represent like the person, you know, might want to walk away from the situation, even though the card interpretation itself doesn't represent that. So that's kind of the thing with intuitive tarot card reading. You rely probably a good 95% on the interpretation of the cards, but there is still that 5% where you have to follow your gut instinct and your intuition to really, you know, deliver the message, an accurate message.
So what is your, so I know, like you said, you apply, you know, intuition, you use your gut instinct. What is your take on reverse cards? This is a, has become kind of like a big question in the community, because I know in a personal way, when I started first learning, I met people who refused to, you know, read cards in the reverse position because they were afraid of the meanings, and other. So I know people who just read upright. I read both sides. So I want to know what your take is on reverse cards.
This comes down to the reader, right? So for anybody listening, you know, if you're picking a tarot card reader, it's very important to pick someone that you've done your research on. You enjoy the way they deliver the messages. Every reader kind of has their own niche. Some are more, you know, they're kind of, they use more of a counseling approach. That's my take. That's how I do it. Some just kind of focus on delivering the message and delivering the insight and just leave it up to you to decide how you want to roll with it. Again, with that being said, there are some readers that will read reversals and some won't. The thing with reversals, I personally read reversals as well, but I can understand why certain tarot readers choose not to, because with upright tarot cards, you have your negative and positive messages anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, that sometimes they feel like the message might get convoluted, or there's just too much going on with the combination of reversals as well. So it's really up to the tarot card reader. If some people enjoy having a lot of information delivered in their tarot card readings, then they might go ahead and, you know, stick to a reader that does reversals. But there are certain individuals that do feel like it's overwhelming, because that's a lot of messages to take in between reverse cards, upright cards. And then there's also certain readers, such as myself, I use a second deck as well as my set of clarifiers. So, yeah, so there's a lot of messages being delivered all at once. As a reader, it might be too overwhelming to deliver all those messages, but then there's some that can handle it. Now, not taking away from the readers that don't do reversals, they probably still have very clear, straightforward, accurate messages, but it really depends on what they're able to handle. That's the most important part. You know, they're staying very true to their beliefs, and if it just doesn't resonate with them to deliver a message through reversals, then it's best for them to stick to upright.
Totally understand that. So I have a couple of follow-up questions to this, just because I know just from the people that listen to this show, some people are really interested in starting this journey. They're interested in tarot, but they have some misconceptions about it. They feel really overwhelmed with the number of cards, you know, because when you look at the tarot deck, you have 78 cards. But when you look at an oracle deck, you have about 44, on average, 44, maybe 50 cards. So people are overwhelmed with, you know, the 78 cards and then the reversals, making it like 156 meanings, right? Which sounds crazy. Yep. It sounds so overwhelming. So people feel really intimidated by the deck, number one. But number two, I'm sure you're aware that in general, the tarot has such a negative, I guess you could say, connotation / stereotype. People, you know, a lot of religions try to sway people away from using any sort of divination tools about the tarot. So if somebody approached you and they, you know, they're interested in your work, but they have this, you know, misconception about this tool being used as a tool of the devil, what is your natural response? How do you approach something like that?
You know what? At that point, I'm just like, that's your opinion. Shrug and keep it moving. As you know, everybody in the spiritual community, no matter what their thing is, there's so much criticism that comes from it. The thing is, with spirituality and any divination tools, people who haven't really been enlightened spiritually or they haven't gone through much of an awakening, even with astrology, for instance, you know, they kind of take it as, oh, this is some kind of mystical magic thing. And it's really not. It's very simple. We're very spiritual beings. And some people are more in tune with that spiritual side of themselves. Some people have developed the ability to listen to their intuition. Some people have always had it naturally for as long as they can remember. And I think with the thing with divination tools like tarot, this is just a tool for your intuition. So, you know, if people are going to have these negative conceptions, I guess, when it comes to it, and that's fine. You know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. If someone doesn't want a tarot reading, then that's fine. Don't get one. You don't need to criticize it. But everyone's going to have a negative opinion about these things, unfortunately, because not a lot of people really take the time to do their research to understand what it's about. There's not much you can do about that. You could just, you know, I think as much as you have confidence in the ability, you're never really going to be bothered by what other people say, because you've experienced what it could do for yourself, what it could do for other people. You know it's legitimate. So, you know, people who have their opinions, that's fine. You know, they can have their opinion. Unfortunately, they feel entitled to give it. That's fine. Give it and keep it moving. But for anybody that's getting into it or has an interest of getting into it, you know, I personally will talk about it no matter where I go. Like, I could be at a party, any setting, and I talk about it. You'd be surprised how many people actually take interest in listening and learning about it. But yeah, there are a few skeptics. But you just need to kind of dismiss that and remain confident in that knowing that you have.
So I do have a question about you utilizing these tools and it being accepted by your family. Is it a problem that you do this type of work, or is it generally accepted, or what's the traditional view from your personal experience?
Well, With any cultural background that is very religious, you find a little hypocrisy here and there, right? So, for instance, my grandmother, she was actually into tassiography. So that's when you read the coffee ground. The coffee ground readings, or it could also be the tea leaves. So that's, you know, you drink the cup, flip it upside down for a couple of minutes, you let the grains kind of dry out, and then based on certain images that are created in the patterns, you're able to interpret certain messages from it. But for some reason, although that is common in my community. Tarot cards isn't. So when I have mentioned it to my family, the older generation, yeah, they do criticize or they kind of don't like it. They don't feel comfortable with it. But, you know, I'm still going to do it. It is what it is. But I can't say that it's something that I generally get support from my family, from my immediate family, especially the older generation.
Completely understand. I think there are a lot of people who do come from very, you know, staunch religious backgrounds, and their families don't, you know, give them a lot of support in this direction because, and I can speak for myself in this situation, they believe you're kind of opening the door to something darker and inviting in, you know, darker spirits, or it's kind of going against God or what have you. So I think that's kind of like a common belief about this in specific religious circles, I guess.
Yes, although there is some truth to it. This is not something, it's not like an insult to God or religion, but I do agree a bit. When you do awaken more spiritual parts of yourself, you are opening up your energy field to all kinds of things. So that's not, you know, people think spirituality is all like fairy tales and pixie dust, and it's this like beautiful thing. And that's kind of how I got into your podcast, because I was going through my own spiritual awakening around October or so. Again, after I started using tarot, and I was not ready for what was to come, right? I actually didn't even realize that I was expanding my energy field and not really protecting myself in the process as well. So I went through a very difficult time, and it's very hard to explain why and how, but it was just a lot of confusion, unable to focus. So I do agree to a certain level. You do open up a whole new can of worms if you're not fully ready for it. And if you're not protecting yourself properly, and by protecting yourself, I mean, you're not centering yourself. You're not, you know, doing whatever ritual it is, meditation, whatever it is that, you know, resonates with you, to really get centered and grounded. Because if you're just getting into it deeper and deeper, you kind of become open to all kinds of messages. And these messages, along with your own personal thoughts, there's no control. It's just coming all in, and you lose your ability to focus. So it can have a negative impact if you don't prepare yourself to really get centered in the process and do whatever it takes to kind of strengthen your psychic or intuitive abilities also. So I kind of understand. But yes, you know, they look at it more like it's you're inviting evil spirits into your field. It's not really like that, but it does cause kind of a negative reaction if you're not ready to protect yourself.
This brings me to a question that I like to ask people, because like you said, when you kind of go through this, and I'm just putting quotes around awakening, when you go through this experience, you don't really know what to expect when you kind of open the door, so to speak. So I wanted to know, and I'll share mine with you as well, but I wanted to know, once you first started kind of going through this awakening and you started using tarot, did you have any experiences? I know this is an odd question, but did you have any experiences with the tarot? Did you dream about the tarot? Did spirits approach you in your dreams about the tarot and meditation? Any kind of experiences like that?
Actually, it's weird. I personally didn't, but my spirit guides were doing their own little scheming in the background. So firstly, you don't really know that you're awakening a door, opening a door to anything. You just, it hits you out of nowhere and you're like, am I crazy? You know what I mean? Like, you really start to think you're crazy. Yes. A lot of times you develop abilities that you don't really know at the time are abilities. Like I said, when you open your energy field and all of a sudden you go through a very weird state of confusion and inability to focus, that's all kinds of messages coming to you. You're being overwhelmed. You're being ambushed almost pretty much because you don't know that's what's happening. So you think, okay, am I just nuts? Like, what's going on? But what had happened was, so I went as you've even said in your podcast, awakenings happen in stages. It's almost kind of like unlocking different parts. You know, first you kind of have a spiritual awakening where you remember the spiritual self. You remember there's more to life than just what's here on earth. And it's just a weird knowing that's extremely overwhelming to process in the beginning. And then after that can be the, you know, the unlocking of abilities, which is another awakening process. Thank God they don't all happen at once, because I don't know if that's the case. So, but oftentimes we aren't ready for stage two or stage three. Yes. So we just have to roll with the punches. But what had happened with me, I went through my first awakening through a grieving process, which is very common. I feel like that's the most common way people go through it, when someone passes away. And it just really like, ugh, it hits you, you know, and something happens to you that it's very hard to explain. So my first process happened then, which I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago. And then once, I want to say like around, I thought I had it under control by then, but then March when I got into tarot, like it could have been my spirit guides maybe kind of planting that seed and saying, this is your next step. This is what you need to do to really expand your abilities, right? So I got into it. And then shortly after that, I think it was July, my grandmother passed away. And then again, I went into that state of confusion. I don't know what's going on. It was weird. My inability to focus. My life was affected negatively in a great deal. Because, you know, with work, like life goes on. Life doesn't kind of wait for you to get it together. So then what had happened randomly, a friend of mine I hadn't spoken to in a couple of years, just because like we drifted apart, no big deal. She contacted me out of the blue and was like, I don't mean to freak you out. I went to see a medium and, you know, the medium just randomly brought you up at the end of the reading. So this friend of mine wasn't even going to speak about me. She had her own thing she wanted to talk about. And as the reading finished, the medium was like, one moment, you know, you have a friend. This is what she's going through right now. And she described me. And then she's like, you need to tell your friend she needs to protect her energy field. And then my friend was like, oh, okay, this is kind of weird. So she came, you know, she delivered this message to me. I'm like, what the heck does this even mean? So I'm like, give me this medium's contact. I need to understand what's happening. So when I contacted her, she pretty much explained exactly what I just said. Recently, I had expanded my energy field without knowing, and I do believe that is due to the tarot. And recently, an elderly woman entered my energy field. That would be my grandmother. And she said, you know, you think there's something wrong with you, but really it's just you're overwhelmed with all the messages coming in and you need to ground yourself and really, you know, center yourself. And the only way to do that is through meditation. And I asked her, well, how did you pick up my energy through a friend's reading that I haven't spoken to in 2 years? And she said, through my spirit guides. So it's so weird how these things kind of happen. Like my spirit guides kind of just like popped into the situation and, you know, delivered this message very randomly. And that's kind of how it triggered me contacting her and finding a solution for this awakening that I was going through.
Wow. And I do think, you know, kind of along the same lines, I do believe that, yes, like with any other divination tool that you're drawn to and that you start to work with, it does kind of unlock something within you, but also within your own energy. And like you said, you know, the protecting part is so important. And you do kind of become overwhelmed because there's, I think, an influx of information. It's almost like you're starting to awaken, you're starting to open up, and it's like everything and their mama wants to come in and share, you know, help you to remember. Like there is so much more than what we just see with the naked eye. But like you said, and I don't want to digress too much, it is usually some sort of altering life event, some sort of profound loss that kind of triggers us into looking elsewhere for answers and understanding about why we're here, who we are, et cetera. And I think that that's probably the most common way. And, you know, kind of along this, you know, the same lines as yourself, I don't know that I had like some sort of loss, but I was definitely in a transitional phase of my life when I kind of stepped forward and took this path. And then, yes, it was very, very overwhelming to start learning about who you really are and why you're here, and that there's so much more than this temporary experience. But I will say, when I started working with the tarot, and I always have people do this that I'm working with, and it sounds a little scary, but I this is why I wanted to ask you this question, if you've had any weird or strange experiences with the tarot, because there were times where I would sleep with one, not the entire deck, but like one card under my pillow to get more information.
Yeah, that's actually smart.
And yes, the card would come alive in my dreams and talk to me and introduce me to other cards. And I was just kind of, I was there. I was the observer as well. And I just wonder if you have an interactive relationship with your cards. And what I mean is, do you meditate with them? Do they talk to you? And I know you said you use your intuition and empathy, but I was wondering if, how can I explain this? So when you're reading for yourself, not for someone else, do you have cards fly out? Do you feel like that's from your spirit guide? Do you have kind of like this interactive relationship with your deck or decks?
Oh, yes. I actually enjoy using jumpers. Very, very rarely do I use, like, do I just pull out the card myself? So what I do is, when I'm asking the question at a certain part of the spread, I just shuffle, whatever card chooses to jump out. That's the one that I use. And however it chooses to land, whether it be reversed or upright, that's the one I use. And this does kind of increase the length of the tarot reading, but I feel like it does deliver the most accurate message. So sometimes the cards don't want to come out, and it's weird. And I feel like, honestly, and I feel like, you know what, maybe the person I'm reading for needs to chill out a little bit.
Yes.
You know, it could be so uptight and intense that they're afraid of the answer, or they really don't want to unlock this part of themselves. So I'm just like, okay, you need to relax a little bit, and then I'll do this, you know, and the card needs to come out, because right now it doesn't want to, and it's because you don't want it to. Sometimes even for myself, actually. And again, I find that it has to do with when I'm in an anxious state, when I'm not very focused, and that's when I have to give it a break, put the cards away for a couple of minutes, do my meditation, calm down, get centered, and get back into it. The more laxed I've been, the smoothly it's kind of gone, right?
Yes.
So the cards will jump out. Sometimes there's even two cards that'll jump out. I'll make the exception, take the two cards for the message. And it just flows so perfectly. So yeah, I do use jumpers. That is the preferred method for me. And I also use what's at the bottom of the deck to kind of interpret a little bit more on what the card that jumped out means.
Completely understand. So what are some common misconceptions about the tarot, or I would say, when people go get readings, they have like these massive fears. Do you come across people who are worried, or they're assuming that maybe what you're telling them, it's set in stone and it can't be altered? What are some of the common beliefs, I guess you could say, that maybe you deal with when you're getting clients?
I try to keep away from saying that it tells the future because of the fact that, okay, any action that you take in that particular situation you're asking about is going to alter the future somehow. So today you're getting a tarot reading and I tell you this is what's going to happen in the future. After this reading, you're going to do something related to the situation that's going to alter that. So I let people know very clearly, if the course of action continues this way, this is what the likely outcome is going to be. But this is why I focus on more of a counseling approach in my tarot readings, Because what people need to focus about mostly is what the best approach is. So sometimes the situation you're getting the reading about, it's just, it's set in stone. It's not going to work out, but that does not mean you're doomed. You know, so for example, people come ask very simple questions like, will I ever find love? Well, yeah, the short answer is yes, because you have free will. So if you play your cards right, you do what you need to do, you do the work, the inner work, you will find love. So, you know, there's no, it's almost like what's, they think that the cards can uncover, you know, what you're destined to. And on a certain level, yes, because, you know, we all have a certain direction that we need to take in life. But things like, will I be successful? Will I find love? Very basic, closed-ended questions. These aren't things to bring to a tarot reading. Tarot reading is more like, it's going to uncover the energy surrounding the situation and yourself. And it's going to let you know what's going on in the specific situation you're asking about. But this is your best approach to take to end up in a better position when it comes to the situation. So it is kind of set in stone in some ways, but in terms of the future outcome, we all have free will. People need to understand that, and they need to detach from a certain outcome or a certain person or a certain situation. They need to just kind of be open to, I know I will find love. I know I will be successful, and focus more on taking the right direction to get there. So that's kind of something that people, they come to a tarot reading and they're very closed-minded, and they think, you know, just because this particular situation doesn't work out, that means that's it. I'm never going to be happy.
Yes, I think that's true. So along those lines, what other types of questions should somebody not ask using the tarot?
Definitely when it comes to timelines or closed-ended questions. Because like I said, closed-ended questions, it's very easy to give you a yes or no, but then it's going to leave you feeling unfulfilled with what direction to take, with a lot of uncertainty. So you kind of want to make sure you ask an open-ended question that develops a story in the tarot reading, so you can pick up on you know, everything that's going on and figure out your next steps and the best approach. Another thing too is timelines are almost near difficult to determine in tarot readings. There are some, you know, if you do your research, there will be some websites that connect certain tarot, the elements to certain seasons and whatnot, but I don't know how accurate that is personally. If you want to focus on timelines, you need to kind of focus on an event. So when something occurs, right? So for example, if you're asking, will I find love? When will I find love, right? It's best to kind of, the tarot reading will determine, yes, when you unlock this part of yourself or you heal this part of yourself, you will find love. So it determined a certain event that will happen in your life that then will trigger you finding love after. But there's no actual timeline stuck to it. Like, it's not saying, yeah, in August, you're going to find love, you know? So people, like I said, people need to kind of focus more on the best approach to take to get to that, you know, their favored outcome in the situation, more so than focusing on timelines or yes or no, because we do have free will. So they need to ask, how I should get there and what I need to do to get there.
Exactly. And I think that's such important information, because I think many tarot readers encounter the same questions that you're talking about. You know, when people come up to you and they want to know exactly when they're going to, you know, be married, exactly when they're going to find the one, exactly when they're going to get the job, or they want the specifics, like the date, the time, the hour, the minute, the second. And like you said, focusing on the action steps that can be taken in the moment to get them on the path to the right direction is, you know, one of the best ways. I always feel like of reading tarot, and it's the best way to actually help someone.
Exactly. Like I said in the beginning, there's so much psychology that's attached to tarot. And surprisingly enough, there's actually a lot of social workers, counselors that use tarot with their clients these days as well, because it forces an individual to really look at these the psychological patterns that they, you know, which we call in the spiritual community, we call them cycles, right? Like the karmic cycles. So these are the psychological patterns that hinder our growth or create blockages in our lives from really feeling fulfilled or finding happiness. So tarot kind of forces you to do that, you know, deep reflection and find how you're creating your own blockages in your life. That's usually the case. It's not the external factors that create those blockages. It's the cycles that we keep repeating that generate the same results over and over again.
Exactly. And this brings me, I don't know why this just came into my mind. I felt like I had to ask you this because I know this is something myself and other people encounter. Speaking of kind of like karmic cycles in a way, I will say there's kind of this, for lack of a better word, trend in this community or just among people in general who feel like they have what's called like twin flames. And they feel like they have to stay in that.
We started on this topic.
I'm going to get a drink first. Hold on. But they feel like, because I've encountered when I've given readings, people, you know, they will preface it by saying, well, this is my twin flame. We're supposed to be together. Why, you know, I know this is going to work out. Can you just confirm for me that this is my twin flame? And I can't do that with the tarot. And I just wonder, what is your response to questions like that? They're heavily weighted, but at the same time, it's kind of, it's because right now there's a lot of talk about twin flames and, you know, there's a huge meaning attached to that. So how do you approach those types of, I guess, questions?
Luckily, I haven't had the question yet of whether this person is my twin flame, but I have in my readings when I get certain cards that really represent soulmate energy. The Lover's card, for instance, is like notorious for that. Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, Judgment. Like there's a lot of cards that would represent soulmate energy. When it comes up, I give a very clear cut, not so romanticized explanation of it. And I let them know we have many soulmates in our lives and some of them are not meant to stick around. And some of them are meant to completely break us down in order to develop a part of ourselves that needed to kind of go through that regeneration before we find that person we're meant to be with. Twin flames, as we know, yes, you know, they are part of that soulmate umbrella. But yeah. Thanks to sensationalized spirituality, which is actually extremely toxic.
Yeah.
It's over romanticized this concept so much. And it's so sad. I've read some comments, like if you scroll through some of those twin flame, you know, Instagram pages and stuff, and they do general readings on their pages about twin flames, like you can scroll all the way back to a year ago and the messages are the same over and over and over again. It's like, okay, there's going to be a new wave of twin flame unions happening soon. And everyone's just sitting there like, okay, it's my turn. Finally, it's going to happen to me. And then they stay stuck in these toxic situations with people. And they need to understand the twin flame connection is extremely similar to karmic soulmates, which are toxic and are not meant to be in our lives. You don't know when someone's your twin flame until the union and awakening actually happens. And that's never going to happen for as long as your focus is outside of yourself. The concept of twin flames is basically two souls that have been split in two and they find themselves and there's going to be that union. So this is literally your other half. So this person is a part of you, really. So you need to focus on your inner self. The focus can't be on that other person, what they're doing, when this union is going to happen. If you don't find self-love genuinely and sincerely, then the union's never going to happen in this lifetime. It wasn't, you know, it is what it is. So that's why I let people know you need to kind of, when it comes to talking about, you know, twin flames or even soulmates, the focus needs to be on you. If you don't find that self-love, you don't feel centered, then that connection is never going to happen, because you're not going to have that genuine love with your twin flame, which is your other half, since you don't have that genuine love for yourself, period. I mean, it doesn't make sense. So people need to completely disconnect and not have that codependency to that idea of twin flames for it to actually happen. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't achieve that, because it's something that's very difficult to do, which I completely understand.
Yes, I completely agree with everything that you have said. And I have come up against a few people, or people have contacted me for readings and asked me about, you know, twin flames and soulmates. And I do feel kind of like, and it's a little bit concerning that, yes, people are looking for someone else to kind of complete them in a way, as opposed to having that self-fulfillment, that self-love, and it's forcing them to kind of seek elsewhere to find it. And I think obviously there are a lot of lessons attached to that. But I did want to move on to talk to you about astrology. And I do have to say, I am totally ignorant when it comes to anything related to astrology. So this is going to be extremely enlightening for me. But would you mind discussing how you combine astrology with tarot?
So, yeah. So as tarot was developed, initially when it started, it was just a card, you know, regular card game. But then when certain occultists, I guess, over time came across tarot and seen the divination potential in it, they've made a lot of connections to astrology. And kind of some of them may have even recreated the decks, I believe, to have that connection and correlation. Mm. Certain cards in the deck do represent specific zodiac signs. Like, for example, especially with the major arcanas, which are the divine intervention cards, you have the Chariot. The Chariot is the card of Cancer, the zodiac sign Cancer. But then we also have, you know, with the minor arcanas, the elements. So the swords represent air signs. The wands represent fire signs, cups, water signs, and the pentacles, earth signs. So then we also have masculine and feminine energies with the court cards, queens, and then the kings. So a lot of times we can pick up in the reading, okay, we have, you know, a king of pentacles. This could represent a masculine earth sign. So Taurus, Capricorn, and Virgo. So just there is a connection with tarot cards and astrology. Some of the cards also are governed by the energy of certain planets. And as we know, some of the planets carry the energy of some of the zodiac signs. Like Mercury, for example, is the ruling planet of Virgo and Gemini. So it's things like that. Sometimes you make that connection with astrology and tarot cards throughout your reading. It's another way of just getting more information.
Definitely. I'm over here taking notes on that aspect. I'm going to add this to my readings. No, I think that that's great, because like you said, you can provide extra information. It can be way more in depth and informative for the person who is on the other end trying to receive the reading. I think I wanted just to ask you a few more questions about the tarot. So what is really your recommended way if somebody were to approach you, a friend, and they wanted to start learning the tarot, how do you... What way would you ask them or suggest that they should begin learning the tarot? Because like I said earlier, it is very overwhelming, and but some people really want to learn it. So what would you tell them?
There's a lot of guidebooks out there, and there's a lot of information, especially online. There's some websites that I can't think of any at the top of my head now, but Google is an excellent resource that literally have, you know, all the breakdowns of the meanings of the tarot cards. So the best thing to do is to go and get a very simple tarot deck and then just do your research and, you know, learn every card's interpretation one by one. And it actually doesn't take as long as you think. If you're that into it and you're that interested, it's something that's just going to develop naturally. And you break it down, you know, first you could start with the suit of cups, right? So there's the ace of cups. What does it mean? The two of cups. What does it mean? And so on. And then when you have the cups done and you figured it out, you go ahead and you move on to the next one until you have them all figured out. The best thing too is to take notes. And there's going to be certain cards that are, you know, are going to be very difficult to remember the interpretation. But those are the ones especially that you want to take notes on just to kind of know the difference. Okay, the difference between this one is this and then this card is that. Because sometimes they do have, some of the cards do have similar meanings. So you need to find what distinguishes them apart. So just take notes, identify, you know, your weaknesses, learn about that card a little bit more. And then after some time, when you become confident with interpretation, after doing readings on yourself and friends, people you trust, incorporate a little bit more of your empathy and intuition into it. And it's just going to flow naturally after that.
Definitely. I wanted to ask you one last question, and it's about tarot cards in general. So I know that you work with multiple decks, and I wonder, do you feel the energy off of the decks? Is that how you decide which decks you're going to work with? Or if that's not the way, how do you decide what decks you choose to work with?
I find some decks, yeah, they carry their own energy. When you really become connected with tarot in general, you'll find some of the cards based on the illustration is just how it resonates with you. Some of them kind of carry their own energy. I find some decks are they're more appropriate to use for like relationship readings. And it's just because there's more of a romantic, you know, vibe to the cards based on the illustrations of it. Other decks are better for general readings. So those are the more, I guess, the old school basic decks that we use that don't have as much expression in the illustrations. So for me, I don't know why, but I really enjoy using the original deck that I've originally learned tarot readings with, which is the Universal Tarot. It's based on the Rider-Waite illustrations. So that's the one that I use. It really comes down to the tarot reader, whatever resonates with them.
Definitely. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your wisdom. If people want to get a reading from you and connect with you, how can they find you?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. I'm a fan of your podcast. I told you I came across you sometime last year in October when I really needed it. So I'm super excited to have been part of this. So I appreciate it. If people want to get a hold of me for tarot readings, you can actually book readings through my website. So I have a variety of, you can either do a video chat reading, which I do through WhatsApp video chat. There's also the video recorded readings, which I find is the most popular. And there's the email readings. And you can book it through my website, moonchild-tarot.ca. If anyone has any questions about the readings, you can either email me at moonchild.tarot@hotmail.com or contact me through Instagram, moonchild.tarot. And you just fill out a form, submit the form, and after, I would say, 3 days or so, you'll have your reading in your email. I also do have a promotion for the podcast listeners. So the promotion is about 15% off, and you can get it through by typing in the promo code AWAKENING, all small letters, and then just go ahead and apply the promo code and then just send it through, and it should apply the promo code, and then we'll just go from there.
Perfect. And how long does the promotion last?
The promotion should be until the end of May. So it's going to be until May 31st. So if you book anytime from now until May 31st, the promo will be applicable.
Perfect. So you guys take advantage of this opportunity to get a great reading. And Donia, thank you again for spending some time with me today to talk about an awesome and very fun and enlightening topic, the tarot. Please have a wonderful day. And thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, guys.